It's a Monday. It's the return of Great Talk with Martin Kilcoyne, the sports director at Fox 2. I'm Danny Mac. Scoops with DannyMac.com. By the way, Martin, I was just looking at the podcast, wherever you may get your podcast. Do you know how much stuff we are putting out every single week? The Kilcoyne Conversation, Jim Powers on High School, Bernie is writing every day, Jay Delsing with his show. I have a new show called Beyond the Fairways.
With an S.
With an S. I make sure and always say with an S because there's one out there that does not have the S. We have had, by the way, David Faraday, Tom Watson, this week Lee Trevino. Not bad guess. That's a good start.
Like I've said, you let me know when you get the big names, Dan, okay?
Who do you want to hear from? I'll get whoever you want.
By the way, that sounds great. I'll be listening. Did you see Jim Powers Friday night on Fox 2 on the Prep Zone?
I did.
Not only did he have his Scoops golf shirt on, he had a massive logo behind him. It looked like he was under attack by the Scoops logo on Friday night.
Busy weekend of sports, man. I mean, this is getting to the point where it's kind of the feeling for me of where it used to be when you had the Rams going, the Blues going. Now you add SC. You've got the Battle Hawks. You've got college basketball rolling with Mizzou getting a 7 seed. You are wearing a Marquette jacket, so you are very fired up about Marquette. I don't know if I've told you, but my nephew is in like this crazy cheering section. I did tell you that.
Didn't you say it was the cow one time?
Yeah.
And then we kind of talked about it, and I accidentally said, is he a furry? And then I'm like, your brother's going to beat me up. And it was unfortunate, and we deleted it, I think. And
you butt-dialed my brother.
I recently did, yes. I got a lot of M.A.'s and M.C.'s last names in my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I hung up quickly because he's probably still mad about the furry comment. So
could be. He wouldn't like that about his son.
Dan, I had a TKO on the TV side, and I was basically saying how...
The Kilcoyne opinion, TKO.
Thank you. People know, Dan. But I was basically saying how...
Willie, of course they do.
It's crazy what's going on. Now, whether you're into the Battle Hawks or not, doesn't matter. It's a phenomenon. People love it. 40,000 almost at the Dome on Sunday. The soccer is insanely popular, but also they're winning, which makes it better. And I had a little fun with that. And next Saturday, Battle Hawks play at 6 against their rivals, Dan, their big rivals, the D.C. Defenders.
Of course.
There's some bad blood.
It goes back a long ways.
Well, it goes back 2 weeks. There was some bad blood at the end of the game. But you also have City SC now trying to get to 4-0. So I did this commentary on it, and I forget how I wrapped it up. Every once in a while, I'm proud of how I tie it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, it was kind of a throwaway line, and, you know, and we'll see what happens, Elliot. Like, I really, I don't even remember. There was so much going on. I got it done. I got it written.
Wait
a
minute. Hold on. I got to interrupt you.
Okay.
So with the TKO, sometimes, because I am a loyal viewer of Fox 2, I'll see it the next morning. If you don't wrap it up properly and you say, back to you, Elliot. Elliot is not on the morning show.
I'm exaggerating a little bit. It usually has a tight finish, and then it'll pause, and then I'll look over to the desk and talk to Mandy or Elliot. So last night, I forget how it ended, but the point was it's kind of fun for both of these fan bases, and I made the observation that the soccer fan in town always felt underserved. Why isn't the MLS here? We're a great soccer city, and they for decades probably thought, we deserve an MLS team. Then you have the football fan who's like, why does the NFL keep giving us the finger? I love football. I don't care if it's the XFL or the AAF or whatever. I'm going to go because I love football. But then this morning it occurred to me, Dan, the Oscars were last night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care about that.
I didn't see 1 minute of it.
I couldn't name any of the shows or whatever, but it's fine. I think they'll still do fine without us. It's not what it used to be. That's fair. But the big winner was Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Never even heard of it.
But that's the line I should have used about the sports scene. Everything, everywhere, all over. I had a chance with the Oscars to tie it all together. Clearly. So I just stumbled on that this morning, and I'm a little upset about it. But we do have Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
I like what you said about the Battle Hawks. I think you described it properly. It's a phenomenon, and it is. And I do wonder about this upcoming weekend. They're now 3-1. What kind of crowd you will have at the Dome? And I, as a kind of a follow-up with that, I doubt that they even care. I just wonder what the NFL or even just an owner or somebody on a committee, they look at that, and ESPN put out a tweet and said football is back, and then they showed the big crowds coming in and all that stuff because they're tied in with the XFL. I just wonder if they look, and maybe it's the jaded side of this with me, and go, man, that is a good sports town. That's a great sports town. We did them wrong, or just wow, they love football, whatever. And I'm not saying that they're coming back. I'm not saying that they're going to say, well, let's get a team there after everything that's happened. But I do wonder if they're in the back of their mind, it's just like, hey, that is a really good football team in our football town, and we just did them wrong. We just did them wrong.
I think you might have a couple of people in the league that notice. I think for the most part, they don't care. We know Stan doesn't
I don't think
care.
They care at all.
Right, no, but do they notice? Okay, right. Two different things. Do they care? No. Do they notice? Maybe. And I think like Bob McNair, the Patriots, and not Bob McNair, he was the Texans owner who actually was siding with Dave Peacock in that effort. Robert Kraft was always sympathetic towards St. Louis. He liked Dave Peacock, and he was one of the ones who I think wanted it to work out if possible. So he may be looking in. He's also an MLS owner, and yeah. His son runs the Revolution. Taylor Twellman's buddies with the Kraft. So he may notice, hey, they got the soccer. Good for them. Oh, and that football. I think there's some people like that out there who maybe are aware. Again, I don't think any of them care, but I think they're aware. And I also think we need to just have fun. If you're a Battlehawks fan, have fun. Don't worry about Kroenke. If you love soccer, don't worry about Kroenke. He didn't care about us. Don't worry about him. There were some Kroenke sucks chants. It's funny. I laugh. It's fine. But don't worry. Like, take that, Stan. Look at our soccer stadium. It's full. He doesn't care.
He does not care.
So just enjoy it without worrying about whether he notices or not.
So much so that I don't really worry about him because I don't think he's a human being. But I think that there are others that are in the NFL that do look at it and say, you know what, St. Louis is really a good sports town. And, man, I mean, look at what they're doing with the XFL. My God, if you just put a decent product out there that you care. I've always said this. If you show any effort as an owner in St. Louis, just a little effort, invest in the product, people will come out. I mean, look at the Blues game last night. The Blues are dismantled. You know that they're not going to the playoffs for the first time in years, and still there's big crowds that are going down there. Jordan Kyrou got his 30th goal last night. There's things that they lost the game to Vegas. Petro had an empty netter, but the people will still support you. Just put together an effort. And if you look at a lot of towns, if you dismantled like the Blues did, people aren't going to go to the games. The team here will still get support because of what they've done over the last decade. They spent money, they spent the cap, they won the cup, they were getting into the playoffs, and I think fans will give you the grace period to say, let's watch the rebuild and we'll still support you. I truly believe that.
And I will say, being in the Dome, and as loud as it was...
Was it loud?
It was extremely loud. Like, people were in their seats before the game started. Yeah, the Wizard was there, Ozzy, ceremonial game ball handed out. They also had Gennaro Wilson, who you may not know that name, but I guarantee you've seen him on Monday Night Football, at Arrowhead, at all the big games, the World Series. He's got his Navy outfit on, does the anthem. He
belts it out.
It's funny. I was behind the Arlington Renegades bench. I just happened to be on that side, and I was watching. Some of their players were really like, you could just see it. They're like, whoa, this dude. They were staring at the anthem, and they were like nodding their head like, man, he is on it. Like,
I love that.
So the presentation was great. But for just a minute, I was thinking back to when the Rams were good.
How do you not?
Which was a long time ago. And then I walked over to the Battlehawks sideline, and I saw Todd Hewitt, who had been the equipment manager.
Great guy.
Fired by Spags, of course, during that ridiculous regime, part of the crumbling of the franchise. And just talked to him. He said, man, this is so much fun. He'd been working for USC. He said the XFL called. He said it's a great gig. And then I talked to Ricky Prohl. He's wearing his headset. He's a little busy right now. No, but I was talking to him. I actually talked to him on Saturday because he said, I'm trying to tell the young guys where to go eat. All the places I knew, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like a flashback between him.
Did it make you sad?
A little bit, because even at the end of the Rams, and I'm saying the last 7-8 years before they left, it was just it was drudgery going down there because the teams weren't good. It was the perfect storm, disinterested owner planning on moving, terrible franchise, can't win, and then the team's bad, the building becomes bad when the team's bad. Like, the building was great when the team was great, but it just had a minute, and I think there were probably plenty of people in there who had been Rams fans who said, gosh, I remember when we were good. I remember when it was this loud. And then I saw some TV segments with some younger fans who said, When I was a kid, and then they left, and they said, I didn't have a chance to really come down with my buddies and hang out and go to games, so this is the next best thing. And I think there is that element.
I have to remind myself that there are kids like Patrick Carricker comes to mind, okay, Randy's son.
Thank you, sir.
That the only thing he knew was the Rams. I knew the Cardinals, and I used to go down to Old Bush Stadium, sit in the cold, watch the football Cardinals, and when they left, I was devastated as a kid. I have to remember this whole group of a young generation of fans for 20 years. All they knew was the Rams. So they're born into the Rams. They're seeing the success of the Rams. They become, you know, 10 to 15 years old, and they leave. That's all they know. They don't know about the football Cardinals. They don't know about the history, potentially, of what football meant to this town. And they just had a gut-wrenching experience of that team leaving, because their memories are probably greatest show on turf and winning a Super Bowl, going to two of them. I don't know, man. That's tough on a young fan. It really is. Like, I'd been through it. I'd seen it. I know how business works. But if you're a young fan and you're into it and all you do is care about just the product on the field and having football, and then it's ripped away from you, that's a hard thing to have happen as a young fan.
Yeah, and I think it's easier for them to support this because it's an XFL, not an NFL. It's not the one that gave you the middle finger. It's The Rock, which is exciting. I don't know why he wasn't at the game. If you're going to come to one game,
that's it.
That's probably the one.
I was surprised. Didn't they do just a video presentation?
I don't follow the wrestling world as close as I used to, Dan. I guess Danny Garcia is not only his business partner, but his ex-wife. And she was out there at midfield and did the greeting, and people are screaming and going nuts. And then they go to the Jumbotron, and he's on there, and he's a great showman and performer, and it was really well received. But I couldn't help but think, why aren't you here? He might be filming 48 things. I don't know. But if he could have just whipped in on a jet, been there for an hour, it would have gone a long way.
I agree.
Because he wants this league to work, and this is your model franchise right now. I don't care. I just was surprised.
Would you ever go into business with your wife? And really, by extension, would you go into business with a family member? I don't think I could. Maybe my brother I could.
It's funny because Cousin John, we're like best friends. We're basically like brothers, and we got into real estate for a while, and one of our best friends says, okay, whatever you do, don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it. He said, and we got along fine. We ended up getting out of the real estate game. We got along fine, but everybody kept saying, it'll ruin your friendship. Don't do it. My wife and I talked about event planning, because you go to so many events and say, oh, they should have had a AV person. They should have, opened the doors earlier.
The lighting wasn't right.
Yeah, and I'm a critic of every event I'm a part of. And she said, we've talked about that. Of course, we've never, it's like many things, Dan, I never followed through on that.
I think you and I could do it because we're intimately involved in the community, doing a ton of charity things. I'm with you, too. I'm always like,
every night you're like, if they'd done this
you
differently,
need to kind of think about this. I understand it's going to cost a little money, but you're going to get it back, and the presentation is going to be good, and people will come back, or you want this to be first class. I always try to give little things of what I think can help.
Does every event have a snafu with the audiovisual? They're like,
it's unbelievable.
Everyone is like, and let's take a look, and the tape doesn't play, or it plays and there's no audio. Every event, they're like, And like on my script, they'll be like, go to video. I'm like, and folks, right now, if you'll turn your attention over my left shoulder, let's take a look back.
Wasn't that great?
Well, all right, we're going to have, hang in there. Momentum lost. Hang in there. What's that? Oh, it's playing now. Okay, there's no audio. Can we re-cue that? Can we back?
Doing it off a computer.
And I'm not picking on people in the hotel industry, but I think a lot of times, it may be the AV person comes with the room you rented, so you don't really have control over that. It'd be nice if you could come in with your person and say, this wizard over here is going to run my AV.
So I had my 20th anniversary of my golf tournament, Dan McLaughlin Golf Tournament, benefits of Special Education Foundation. We were going over $5 million. I said, okay, it's the 20th year. We cannot have a snafu of the audiovisual. We are going to spend the money. And I think the people on the board really got pissed at me. Because
we don't want to spend any money. We got to make money.
Exactly. And I said, we're going to make $300,000 to $400,000. We can afford to do this. And anybody that's listening from our golf committee, you know I love you. You know that you guys put so much heart and soul, sweat, blood, tears into this thing. So I'm the last guy that should be saying anything, because I just kind of show up and do my thing and try to get people there. But it drives me crazy. So last year I said, we are spending the money. That's it. We're spending the money to do this right.
You want it to go off without a hitch.
That's
right. You want people to walk away and say, wow, that was pretty smooth. And again, these are small
little. It's the best golf tournament in town, by the way.
It is. I've said that for many years. Willie, where's that audio of me saying that? Do you remember? Clip that off.
You came out and did a story on it. I appreciate that.
We did a story, I believe, this year. Oh, my guy, was it Kevin Ryan's?
Yes.
He's a new staffer of ours, Dan. He went to Syracuse. Here's a story. Yesterday, he'd never been to the Dome. Now, it was a busy Sunday. I couldn't afford to go, like, to the whole game time. I couldn't commit 4 hours. I had to be at the studio putting stuff together. But I said, I'll take him down. And there's nowhere to park. We parked at the Missouri Athletic Club. It's a great spot. So we're up on the fifth or sixth floor. Now, it's about 2:30, games at 3. I said, we wanted to be there much earlier. We're running a little behind. Got to get credentialed, get on the field, get some video. So we get on the elevator. We're the only two on there. Doors closing. Whoop, here comes a crowd. Loud, rowdy crowd, been drinking all day, and they get on, and they fill up the elevator. Now, I have just a hint of claustrophobia. Like, I'll get it every once in a while.
Really?
Just, I can, every once in a while. And it fills up, like, oh, my God. And they're fun, they're having a good time, I'm happy for them, doesn't matter. But as the last person gets on, the elevator kind of, like, jostles. I was thinking, oh, no. Door closes. It goes about another foot or two, and then it does this shake, stops. And I'm like, no way. I've never been stuck in an elevator in my life. And I'm thinking, and this is it? I'm stuck where I'm elbow to elbow and everybody is screaming and rock. Woo, we're stuck. All right. I'm like, everybody calm down.
And they knew who you were.
Well, they said, well, and Kevin,
Martin.
And Kevin had all the gear too. So like, oh, we're stuck and Fox 2 is going to document it all. Like they're going to document me having a panic attack. And so I'm sitting there thinking, what can you do? And so there was a girl in the elevator, and they were all fun, nice people. And she picks up the phone, and it rings the front desk. She said, oh, we'll send someone over. But I'm thinking, God bless the guy who's coming over. He's not going to know how to fix the elevator.
No.
So somebody on there said, oh, the way it works, they have to call the fire department, so figure on another 30, 40 minutes till they get to us because there's a lot going on downtown. I was like, don't say that.
No.
Don't say that. So
no.
I did the hit the button. Let's go up. Let's try the open door. No, I hit the closed door, and somebody said, I'll try to open the door. I'm like, okay. That worked in Die Hard. That doesn't work.
You're going to go through the roof of the, of the elevator.
Willy Wonka, we just explode through the roof. I was on the verge of a panic attack because I was like, this is awful. The rest of my life, I will walk stairs. I don't care if it's 100 floors. And I eventually saw a button that said, run, stop. Probably all of this is in 3 to 5 minute range, but enough where I'm thinking, how long can I withstand this? How can... And a guy's like, I gotta pee really bad. Like, oh no. And I just did the run stop. I hit stop and let it sit, flipped it to run, and it started moving. And it went up to the top floor, and everybody just bailed out. And when I went back to my car, I had to leave at halftime. I walked up the steps. I would have been the only one on the elevator. I said, I'm not doing it. I just can't do it.
Seriously.
I walked all the way back.
You really do have an issue then.
Well, moving forward, I'm going to have to deal with this because it freaked me out. It really freaked me out. And I told my wife last night, next time, you know how you're the last person you hop on, like, whoa, hold that door. I said, I'm not doing that because if I'm going to get stuck, I got to have a little elbow room.
So people may not know, you brought up anxiety. And for a lot of people, it is spring break with their kids. You have a grandkid, you have kids. So how many people are at your house right now?
Okay, so my daughter got invited by some friends, a friend's family. She's down at Rosemary Beach, that destination.
It's St. Louis South, oh, yes. Man. It's crazy.
We drove there last year, and you'd go to lunch, and you'd look in the parking lot. It's all Missouri plates.
Why are we here? We could have done this at the Starbucks, wherever you go.
So my wife... she's getting her master's right now in
counseling.
Is
she doing that online?
No, she goes, and she has class at UMSL. Got her college degree at SLU, master's currently at UMSL, but she has class Tuesday, Wednesday night. So I don't know if we would have gone anywhere or not, and the daughter had her invite, so she was locked. She didn't care what we did. She's going to Florida with her friends, but she's got school through Wednesday night. So I told Carson, he's the one who loves basketball now. And I said, let's find another NBA game to go to because we had so much fun when we did that, went to the Bucks game in December. So the Grizzlies are home Saturday, the Bulls are home Saturday, and the Pacers are home. So I said, one of these three. So I got a buddy in Chicago. He had his lead on tickets. He said, I'll call you next week. Well, now the Marquette schedule comes out. They're playing Friday in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm like, that's – so last night I came home, and Carson's like, Dad, are we still going to the NBA? I said – how do you feel about a little March Madness? And my wife's like, this is when Dad steers it towards his favorite thing to do.
I think
we might go. No, he's excited because he's never been. I don't know if we're going or not. We're working on it. But he's never been to an NCAA tournament game. So I said, buddy, check it off your list.
For sure. Why not? So, I just wondered if you had anxiety with all the kids
at home. All the kids being home. Well, in a couple of days, I'm sure we'll be staring at you like, hey, you want to go to the Magic House again? Want to go shoot
Why
buckets?
Why not?
And it's too cold to be outside.
Yes.
What you want, Lou Fuse has got it.
Lou Fuse is here as the official automotive partner of St. Louis City FC, and we are here winning with 17 brands of vehicles, 13 huge Lou Fuse locations, and over 1,600 new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Lou Fuse is here with the selection you want, the savings you need, and the support for our community you can count on. Visit us today at Fuse.com.
The anxiety, yes, kids being in your face all day. The mornings are nicer because nobody has to get up at the crack of dawn. That's a big difference.
What else you got for this visit?
City SC could make history, Dan. No MLS expansion team has ever started 4-0. So not only have they tied Seattle for the best start ever, so they've taken this excitement, which was there, we've said, no matter what. And now they have a chance to make history at their home Saturday. Think about this. Battlehawks defenders, we've already talked about the bad blood there. 6 o'clock start at the Dome. City SC starts at 7:30, all on the same night. It's fun for our town. You know what we should call it, Dan? Everything Everywhere All at Once. Don't you think we could make that?
I've never heard that before.
Let's make that into a thing. I also have my Cardinal Notes World Baseball Classic. You saw it on Fox, Wainwright pitching. And then they got roughed up by Mexico on Sunday night, and they're going to take on Tyler O'Neill and company. But the best part of the World Baseball Classic is the Lars Nootbaar bar. Japan explosion.
It's crazy.
And
he is such a character, though.
It didn't take long.
No.
I mean, I think it was Brian Kennedy, who was a sports guy at Channel 4. He tweeted, I don't know if they'll give him back. And I thought that was a great line because they're having so much fun. The local news anchors in Japan are doing the pepper grinder. The crowd's doing it. He's playing great. It is cool to see. I guess in the U.S., we don't really get into it the way they do in other countries. Maybe that'll change at some point. But to see the excitement and the fact that the story in Japan is this Cardinal outfielder who a year ago was sort of just a guy.
He made his debut in 21, and the team was playing not well in the middle of the season, and they bring up this guy, Lars Nootbaar. And he had had a really good spring, and he was not, if you recall, he was not on the top prospects of who would get called up by the Cardinals. And they must have known, though, at that time, this guy's going to give you a jolt of energy. And I remember he had a triple, I think, for his first hit in Detroit. And that's what you got to have a guy, you know, that you've got such a serious Arenado, serious Goldie. Molina was very serious. Waino has fun, but he's every fifth day. I really believe you have to have a collection of guys that you got the serious guys, but those that can keep it really loose. And he keeps it so loose, and the veterans love him. I've talked to Ollie about this. The veterans love him. And normally, you're to be seen, not heard. I mean, it's the cliche.
Right, the rookie's got to just keep his mouth shut.
Exactly.
But this guy can't help it. I noticed just in the few times I'm around, he's almost like your little brother, like, yes, Lars. Like, he would be like, Nada, what time are we out on the field? He's like, dude, it's on the board. It's like, and like, just that little brother kind of tugging at your back of your shirt. Hey, you want to go play? That hyperactivity that actually is needed to keep it fun, keep it kind of loose.
The guys love him.
Yeah, no, and the fans, I think, started to figure it out, and now Japan has figured it out. You got a Cardinal everywhere you look. I saw Tyler O'Neill had a big hit for Team Canada. So World Baseball Classic may not be front and center, but the Lars phenomenon in Japan, I'm enjoying, watching from afar.
And he's a good player. I mean, that's the other thing. He's a good player, and the league will figure you out, but he's been around long enough where he's made some adjustments. He'll continue to do that, and he's a good player. He's fun to watch and a fan favorite already.
And you don't talk about a guy like that because he's not really on the radar, and then he comes up, you're like, hey, he's pretty good, and then he has some home runs. Like, he's decent, and then you look and I say, well, he played at USC. I mean, he's not.
Yeah.
He's obviously pretty high level if he played his college baseball at USC. Dan, Missouri looking to win a tournament game for the first time since Mike Anderson.
Wow.
In that time, Mike Anderson has
took
left.
Took him to the Elite Eight, I think.
Again, in 2009.
They lost to UConn.
And then the next year, they won a game in 2010, and then that's it. Frank Haith, obviously we know Norfolk State and all that, didn't win. Kim Anderson, Konzo went twice, didn't win. 2010, so if you're a Mizzou fan, that's the biggest thing. Is let's get at least one. If you're Illinois, I was looking this up, and the frustration with Brad Underwood is when they were really good last couple of years, they didn't make any noise. They have not made it to a Sweet 16, winning two games, since 05, the year they made their run to the championship game. So both, and I don't know that I wouldn't pick Illinois to win two games. Mizzou, maybe.
I think, too, you're not in the 8 or 9 game. That's a key. You have a shot as a 7, certainly as a 7 or below, but 8, 9 gets really tough. 7's not easy in round 2.
Right.
The one thing, though, that I look at is that the team they're going to face is a lot better than people know. They're really good. But I think that Mizzou, the thing is, if they come out and they shoot, this is not breaking down, you know, like making a bold statement here.
From the left elbow.
Left elbow. Now swing it right side. But I think if they come out and shoot the ball well, they win. I mean, that's basically it. They get to 70 points, they win. That's it. Just get to 70. So if you get hot early and you make it competitive, and they play pretty good defense at times, but if they can shoot well initially, I think they win the game.
They're a fun team to watch because they get up and down the floor, don't really have much of an inside game. That could be a problem. So you got to hit your shots, like you said. And if they do, this Dennis Gates is likable. He got an extension. Everybody gets an extension down there.
Who didn't think Dennis Gates would turn this thing around right away? I knew that.
I think you and I were on record. If we could. Lauren, where's that tape? Where's that tape? Do we have it back there? It's just such a fun time with the basketball. I won't bore anybody with the Marquette talk, although they did win the Big East over the weekend. But then my wife said, what does that mean? I said, well, really nothing.
Like,
they won their conference tournament, first time ever. It was so much fun.
What's your seed?
There are two.
I thought they had a shot maybe at a 1.
They finished strong. I'm just glad they didn't dump them down to a 3. You never know.
I didn't think they're going to get a 1, but maybe they're in the conversation in that room.
Because you win the Big East Championship, it's on Fox. It's like a highlighted moment of the weekend going into the Selection Sunday. I'm just happy as heck that they're good again. But we don't need to do what Seth Davis was doing. And I like him. He does a great job. He knows the game inside and out. But this is his thing now. Every Selection. I'll tell you what. I like Drake to pull the upset and to win a couple of games. I think Santa Barbara, the Gauchos, are going to pull the – and at the end of the show, I said – I think he picked 14 upsets, and I'm sure the producers pressure him to like make some noise or say something crazy. I just don't believe that he believes all of those crazy predictions. And now you're going to get it at work. People are walking. I'll tell you what, I like that 12 seed coming out of the – oh, stop.
You don't know.
You don't have any clue. Just enjoy the game.
I'll wrap it up with this. The NCAA tournament, when people, the national writers or pundits or broadcast, I don't care who it is, but when they put on Twitter, Duke – and they advance Sharpie. I don't know why I don't like that. It just annoys me.
Do they say Sharpie?
No,
or
it's on Twitter.
Or whatever.
No. They win, and it just says, let's say it's Duke, and 2 minutes later, Duke.Sharpie, meaning like they advance, put it in pen.
Okay.
I don't know why it just annoys me.
I'm going to have to take a closer look at that because there's a lot of things that annoy me. And at this time of year, it's bracket guy at the office. Hey. See my picks? Like, oh, come on. It's fun. Remember when didn't Diane on Cheers win the brackets because she picked like her favorite colors or
she
something?
Did.
That's about how it works. You know what? I'm gonna fill out a bracket, Dan, and I'm just gonna use my favorite colors.
I like that.
I'm gonna see how it goes.
What are your sponsors today?
Well, we're from the Pasta House Studios. Kids eat free on Sundays. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not. I should remember that because you say it every podcast.
And you can order your food online, pastahouse.com. We've got Triad Bank, mutual friends of ours. And
Jim Regnow.
They have Triad Bank, I think, has got a watch party for some of the tournament games this week.
We should make a stop by
Triad Bank.
Maybe we should do a podcast from Triad.
Oh, we should do it from the lobby. I love their lobby. Friendly people, I always talk about that. Appliance discounters, you have B&G Tuck Pointing, the best in the bricks. They're Blues diehards. They still go. They're hanging in there with the team, which is great. And a lot of times, if you put that kind of money out for tickets, you better keep going to the games. And Marie Davila, Senior Living at the corner of Clayton and Weidman Road.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I love being here on a Monday. I feel fired up for the week now.
Well, a lot of people would like us to do this daily. I've had a lot of response at Dan at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. I emailed and said, get Martin in there daily. But apparently you don't want to do it.
As long as he closes the door. Dan scolded me because I didn't close the office door on the way in. Maybe that's a subconscious claustrophobia.
Could be.
I'm scarred by the elevator incident.
It's not a big office we have, but it's big enough to where you should not have claustrophobia.
Scoop's headquarters.
I want to tell you about the Ascension Charity Classic that's coming up. Nick Ragone, Steve Spratt, they've got things rolling right now. Ticket sales are actually going pretty well. AscensionCharityClassic.com. Lou Fuse, obviously, great supporter of SC. You talked about Triad Bank. And then we also have our friends from Lordo's, your family's jeweler for life. It's been a great talk, Martin.
This was a great talk.